we'll get started. Shankar, if you can just lower a little bit. सहनाववतु सहनो भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराण समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् विल् फर्स्ट् चाण्ट् श्लोक नम्बर् वन् भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते सम्प्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति डुकृन्करणे भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते सो सेकेण्ड् टैम् विल् जस्ट् एण्ड् इट् एट् दट् लास्ट् क्लास् दट् वी वर् टुगेदर् वी सा दिस् मीनिङ्ग् आफ् श्लोक नम्बर् टु विच् सेड् दट् हे मूढ ओ फूल् गिव् अप् दि तृष्णा द डिज़ायर् फार् वेल्त् Adi Shankaracharya is saying to give up the desire for wealth, not to give up wealth. Because then we start thinking, if I give up desire, then where will I live? Do you want me to live like a sannyasi? No, that is not the point. The point is, even when we give up the desire, we can still live a peaceful, happy life. When desire is there, it pollutes our thinking. And when that polluted thinking is there, even if we are doing some task that we are supposed to do, we will not focus because the focus is on that desire. That how will I make sure I get that? So therefore, that desire itself is to be gotten rid of. So if I get rid of desire, then I will never earn wealth. No, he doesn't say that. Kuru sadbuddhim. How do we get rid of desire? We create sadbuddhi in our mind. And that sadbuddhi is wealth cannot give me the lasting happiness that I think it will give me. The wealth is supposed to give us some power, some ability to accomplish certain things. And we think that if I have that, I will be able to accomplish all those things. But we find many times people who have wealth, still they are unhappy. So wealth never got them that happiness, because wealth can never give us that happiness. And even if one has the wealth, one can spend it on certain items and they feel that they will get the objects that they want from that wealth. Still, they will not get happiness. Because for a few moments that they thought they would get that happiness, they got it, and the next moment itself, they are unhappy again. So happiness is not in wealth. Happiness is not in earning the wealth. Happiness is not in spending the wealth. When we create this sadbuddhi in the mind, that desire for earning and holding on to wealth, that desire goes away. And the second thought is, if I have wealth, then that wealth, if I distribute amongst the society, then that feeling of I own this wealth, that doesn't come. That I am the sole owner of this wealth. But when I can distribute, I say that this right to wealth has the same right for everybody. So I'm giving it out in that way. So my ownership, my ego, that also dies down with this thought. So I create a sadbuddhi in this mind, which will create vitrishnam, peace. And then, yallabhase nija karma upattam. By performing any action, nija karma, self-action, whatever action that is enjoined to us, that means whatever the scriptures say is our dharma, that we must follow. That is nija karma. Adharma also can be nija karma. My dharma is, somebody who is deluded will say, my dharma is to kill that person. Why? Because he stole from me. That is nija karma, because I have to have a right. Somebody can falsely argue like that, but that is not what is meant here as nija karma. Staying in the boundary of dharma, how we accomplish our tasks, our duties, our responsibilities, they become the nija karma. So we're not crossing the boundary of dharma. And then the wealth that you attain, with that, vinodaya chittam. Vinodaya chittam doesn't mean again go on a spending spree. Be content. Vinodaya, happy, peaceful. So here, be content with then what you have earned from your nija karma. That is purushartha. One way. Other is prarabdha. You may have put in purushartha, but it is only our prarabdha that we will get certain. So I may have put in enough to get me a million, but I only get half of that. That is my prarabdha. So when I get that, I should not feel that I have lost something. So again, vinodaya chittam. Be content. So whatever our purushartha gets us and whatever our prarabdha gets us, we should be content. There was one man who was, like a investor in business. So as an investment, he made an investment, and then he comes to one Swami and starts crying. And he comes to the Swami and says, oh Swami, I have lost 5 lakh rupees in my investment. A poor Swami, what he knows, he thought, oh, 5 lakh rupees, that is a lot of money. So, he's giving him all these good vicharas. Don't worry, you will get your money again. You just work hard. And all these things he's saying. And the wife comes up and says, Swami, what are you advising him? He's crying for nothing. That is his habit. So Swami says, why? He lost 5 lakhs. Why are you so inconsiderate of that loss? So the wife says, Swami, he only told you half the story. He actually earned 5 lakhs. He was supposed to get 10 lakhs. So he's crying because he didn't get the other 5. So this is what it is. With a Purushartha, he was hoping 10 lakhs. He only got 5 lakhs. So prarabdha. But being content is where we are giving up the Trishna, that desire. So Adi Shankaracharya, with this thought, is saying that this desire that we have of material possession, wealth is a, what you call as upalakshana, an indicator of other things that we have. So wealth is indicator of possessions, of ownership of things. So that is the focus with this one shloka number 2. Today we will see shloka number 3. As you may have heard before, there is Kanchan, Kamini, and Kirti. These are the 3 things that if a human being falls in, it is very hard to get out. And this is basically what the samsara is. One who has gotten above these 3 has crossed samsara, or halfway there. So these are the harder things to overcome. So now he takes up the idea of Kamini, the desire for Kamini. Let's take a look at the shloka. Nari stana bharana bhi desham. Drishtva maga moha vesham. Etan mam savasadi vikaram. Manasi vichintaya varam varam. Together now, nari stana bharana bhi desham drishtva maga moha vesham etan mam savasadi vikaram manasi vichintaya varam varam bhaj govindam Govindam bhajamudhamate. When that trishna for wealth goes away, what must we do? Bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam. So purpose of our life, the purpose of human evolution is to reach to Bhagavan. The trishna is distracting us. So when we overcome the trishna, our time is saved. So that time now we use for bhajagovindam. Similarly, moha avesha. When we come under this moha avesha, avesha overpowered. It is like somebody has just entered our body and has taken control of our actions. And what is that? Moha, delusion. Wrong thinking. How did this come about? Drishtva, having seen nari stana bhara, the bosom of a lady, and nabhi desham, the navel region. Desham, the place. So the place of the navel region and the place of the chest area. Seeing that, one becomes moha avesha, goes into that state of uncontrollable passion. He says, maga, don't go into that area. Don't go into that thing. एतत् मांस वस आदि विकारम. इट इज अ विकार, इट इज अ मॉडिफिकेशन ऑफ मांस. मांस मीन्स फ्लश, वस मीन्स फैट एंड आदि एक्सेट्रा. आदि मीन्स बोन्स, ब्लड एंड ऑल द फीकल मैटर, यूरिन, ऑल ऑफ दैट. दिस इज व्हाट द होल बॉडी इज मेड ऑफ. मनसी विचिंतय वारम वारम, एंड दिस थॉट वन मस्ट पॉन्डर अपॉन अगेन एंड अगेन एंड अगेन. नाउ मेनी टाइम्स व्हेन पीपल हियर दिस दे गेट ऑफेंडेड. आई वॉज इन वन स्टडी ग्रुप क्लास एंड यू नो देयर वॉज अ लेडी, शी सेड आदि शंकराचार्य जी हाउ कैन यू से समथिंग लाइक दैट, defiling women's body as flesh and fat and bones and all of this. A human body is to be worshipped. Why is Adi Shankaracharya ji saying like this? So one is, he is not saying it like that. And you will always find those who have these objections are those people who actually are so fascinated by their body. They have an over attraction towards their own body, or who have attraction towards other body. So here Adi Shankaracharya means in no way to see women in different way. And he's not saying just only to men. It goes equivalently to both men and women. Because moha avesha can happen to both. Where there is mind, avesha will come. Delusion will happen. So it happens equally to both gender. But we must not feel that this is an offensive language presented by Adi Shankaracharya. And then they say that you should treat all women as mother, which is a good thought. Not saying it is not a good thought, because when you think like that, the moha avesha will not come. But you cannot practically think like that, because if you did, you would not be grihastha. For practical purposes, the reason why we are grihastha, because we had a desire and we found a spouse, a companion for our life, and we are in the grihastha ashram. So then is this only for grihastha then to give up all of this and then become sannyasi? Or is it only for sannyasi so that they can remain sannyasi? Or for those brahmacharis who should not go into grihastha ashram and they should directly become sannyasi? It's actually applicable for all, because if as a grihastha we have this thought in our mind towards our spouse, then is that relation based on a higher value, or is that based on just a flesh? And if that avesha is there based on flesh, then that relationship will not last for long. And even if it lasts, there will be a lot of problems. In few years only, the body will change its form. The flesh will start dangling. At that time, what we will do? At that time, where will that avesha go? And then what you will do? Because the desire is still there, but it's not being met anymore. So it applies for grihastha also. It applies for sannyasi, we can easily relate, because they have a different track itself to follow. So for them to go to that track and, you know, adopt this is not fitted. For them it is not here considered. So therefore, there is a strict rule for them that they should not even have this. So for Grihastha, if you're only focused on this idea, then you can never do your tasks. The tasks of, you know, you're sitting doing Japamala and then your mind runs there. Your focus is not there then. So at that time, wherever this avesha comes, or yeah, wherever this mohavesham comes, there we must bring this idea of this is nothing but mamsa. This is nothing but flesh and muscles and urine and fecal matter. Immediately, we will get an instant vairagya. That avesha will go away. We will not even think about doing something like that. So this is the point. He's not defiling a human figure. He's saying that wherever this thought comes, to negate that thought, we must have this thought. That think of it as just flesh. And then if you're talking about a Grihastha, how should that person see the whole world? So then other nari, the parastri, becomes mother. This is how our culture looks at it. Spouse becomes my spouse, but then other than spouse becomes mother. This at least the vision that we should follow. And we have many examples. The biggest example is Lakshmana. Married, kept his wife in Ayodhya, went with Bhagwan Ramchandra ji, stayed for 14 years, never had any kamana towards Sita. We don't find any instances because he has maintained that relationship in that purity. Therefore, we find, right, that when all the abharanas were thrown away, he says that I do not recognize any of these abharanas except for the anklets. It's not that he, you know, Valmiki ji didn't, he hid the truth. He was trying to make sure that it is as pure as possible. No. The way it happened is what Valmiki ji presented. And that's the fact. So we see that purity in how Lakshmana behaved. When it is Parastri, we see it as mother. And the reason why this is more geared towards men is because we don't find many such cases of women overly attracted to men. And the criminal cases that happen is not the other way around. It is more that men who have not been able to control their moha are able to do something like this. So therefore, it is to guide those who are misguided in majority. Another example you can take is Swami Vivekananda. The first thing he says when he is there for the World Parliament address, dear brothers and sisters, right? And everybody starts clapping for what he said. And this, you know, Rajul ji only mentioned today, like how this was, that somebody asked him, you know, we also say brothers and sisters, nobody claps. How is it that you said from outside and everybody started giving standing ovation to you? What is so special? So he said that I have never looked at a woman with such a thought in the mind. I have always maintained that purity in my mind. So therefore, that purity drove people to do that. And in his life only the incident happened. But there was a lady. She became so attracted by Swami Vivekananda. Like if you even look at his picture, you see how strong of a personality he was. Just standing like that and looking up, you see that there's something about it. So this lady was attracted by Swami Vivekananda. And she said to him, I desire a son from you. I desire to have a son from you, which is like you only. Because I want somebody who is like you. No? Swami Vivekananda, then he answers. Really nice answer he gives. He says, if you're looking for a son, why don't you make me your son? You're looking for a son only, right? I am like your son. You treat me as your son. Why do you need another son? This is the vision. You're not seeing it in impure way at all. That thought itself goes away when you see a mother. Because you could not think about something like this about your mother. So that vision never comes also in the mind. This is the purity to maintain. So that avesha doesn't come. But that is not towards your spouse. Then if you do that, then you will never have a healthy relation. It is not saying about your spouse, but it is saying that when this avesha comes, at that time you bring this thought of mamsa, vasa, adivikaram. Now, if you think about it this way, there is this mamsa, there is this fat and all of this. Our body from within can never generate anything good smelling. So it can definitely give us an instant vairagya. If our senses, you know, good thing that Bhagwan made our senses external. Upanishads only say that. Paranchikhani vyatrinat swayambhu. That Lord who can manifest himself, he vyatranat, he made it in such a way that paranchikhani, they are external. Our senses are external. So we should be very compassionate or very grateful to that Bhagwan that he did make it external. Because if we had to smell our internals every single day, we would not be happy at all. To see that internal, even more fearsome. Smell, you can at least block certain ways. See it, my God. Have you ever seen anybody who sweat and from that sweat comes perfume? No. It doesn't come at all. So this thought is very strong that when we see the reality of the body, an instant vairagya comes about. So there was one Mahatma, and this Mahatma was giving discourses, and in his discourse many audience come. So there was one beautiful looking lady also came. So in general, this Mahatma would not focus on any of this idea of, you know, who is, because he was totally focused on this thought of whatever topic he has to discuss, he will talk about that. So this beautiful lady comes, sits in the front, and he sees that his disciple is attracted towards, because he keeps only staring at her, nowhere else. So this he noticed a couple times. So then he called this lady and said, please come. I have a favor to ask you. And she was a believer of this Mahatma, so she came. And he told this lady, I'll give you some medicine. With this medicine, you will fall sick. Okay? You will fall sick, so I want you to just stay at home for a few days and just go through that. After that, I will myself come and give you a medicine to cure yourself. And what I want you to do is, as you go through this sickness, whatever vomit, whatever comes out of your body, you just store it and keep it in some place. So like that, he told, the lady went, took the medicine, and she fell sick. For a few days, again, the pravachans were happening, but this disciple was not seeing this lady. So Mahatma realized now, you know, because now his focus, as his attraction was, where is this lady? Where is this lady? I don't see it. So that questioning mind was always there. So he could see that in the face of this disciple. Like that, few days gone by. Obviously, he's a disciple, so he can't ask the guru. But he told the Mahatma, told this disciple, let's go out today. We'll go out for bhiksha today. And he takes the disciple and goes to this lady's house and knocks on the door. She says, the door is open, please come in. They come in and they see that she's lying on the bed, totally bedridden, not being able to sit up properly. And this disciple looks at her and he's seeing, oh, what is this? So then the lady says, you know, I've been sick for these many days and I couldn't attend your satsang. I'm so sorry, I'm missing out. Mahatma says, no worries, no worries. Here is the medicine. You will get cured well. So you take this medicine. Then he asks the disciple, so what do you think? So the disciple says, oh Mahatma, I used to be so attracted by her. Now, all that is gone. The body is so weak. The bones, the cheekbones are like coming out. All that, you know, has gone down. I'm totally baffled. You know what the truth is? So ask the Mahatma. Disciple says, no, what is the truth? He goes and he takes him to this room. Opens the room. As soon as he opens the room, a filthy smell starts coming. And that was all the fecal matter and all the vomit and all these things that she had stored. He says, this is the truth. All this time, you were thinking about how this beautiful flesh was, but what was the reality within it? The moment we come to know that reality, our passion turns into dispassion. This is why Bhaja Govindam, we find every verse is put with Pratipaksha Bhavana. Whatever our bhavana is, whatever our bhava is, our emotions are, a pratipaksha is given. An opposite view to that has been presented. So that our likes and dislikes that we have associated with so many of these common things in life, they become nullified. They hold no truth at all. Therefore, knowing that this is nothing but flesh, nothing but bones and all of this, immediate dispassion will come to us. Another story. A little disgusting, but it will definitely give us vairagya. I'm trying to disgust you guys. And then I'll tell you why. So again, there was one Mahatma going for bhiksha. And as he used to go for bhiksha, there was one Grihini, a lady in the house. She was very attracted to this Mahatma. So as she was attracted to this Mahatma, you know, she invited him in the house. told him, come sit. And then she, you know, went and started touching him. So Mahatma freaked out. And as soon as he realized what is happening, he went and ran inside the bathroom. Because, you know, he had come inside, now he can't, the lady had closed the door or something. So he couldn't run out. So he went and hid himself in the bathroom. Now, if you think about it, if an incident like this were to happen, who would be the party at blame? Always the men. This is how the vision has been. So he realized that if I get caught in this, all my sadhana, all my work, all of it is going to be destroyed. So I cannot get caught. Therefore, he runs and hides in the bathroom. But now, how long will he hide in the bathroom? He has to come out. And as soon as he comes out, she'll be there waiting for him. So he doesn't get what to do. He's thinking, thinking, thinking. And then obviously an idea comes to him. He takes a little bit of fecal matter, smears it over his body. And then he comes out. And as he comes out, the lady just runs. And he runs after her, says, this is what you wanted, right? He says, no, no, I don't want anymore. And he's also gone from there. And then he goes to a river, washes himself well, purifies his body, shaves his head. But the idea is that as soon as we are associated with this, see how your mouth cringed. We already know. All it is that our thought has to go there. The moment our thought goes, immediate, instant vairagya happens. And you're able to move away from it. Now, a final thought. If this avesha is there, and fine, one understanding is that I have to bring in this idea of mamsa, vasa, etc. But if I don't bring, and I change the object itself, then what happens? If I put in front of me an object of a lady, and then I have this avesha, it is condemned. It is considered wrong. Because our thoughts are at a baser level. You show the same avesha towards Bhagwan. What happens? You have that same attraction towards Bhagwan, the idol. We call it as murti puja. To adore Bhagwan with such vision is considered a higher. Because there is no lust. We don't call Mirabai lusty. Her attraction, her love for Bhagwan was not condemned. People actually adored her afterwards. At that time, the family didn't see it. Maybe the society also didn't see it at that time. But now, her poetry, her adoration for Bhagwan is seen differently. You see the navel region of Bhagwan Krishna only. You see the eyes of Bhagwan Krishna. See where he is holding the flute. And how gracefully he is holding the flute. Where has he placed the flute? Closer to his lips. See how full those lips are. See how he's standing, the posture, crossed leg. As you admire Bhagwan this way, one, the avesha of that lustiness will go away and it will turn into a devotion. It becomes a murti puja. Because if the body, if the mind requires a form, we are giving a form to that mind. But in a positive way. A very classic example of Tulsidas ji. When Tulsidas ji was born, his father looked at his horoscope and said, this boy is going to bring bad luck to our family. And he was abandoned. He was just left on his own to do things. And wherever he went, people considered him, he was really a bad omen. So they would never interact with him, just shunned him, the society. Then he was adopted by a saint where he got an education. He learned. And then as he finished his education, he started giving pravachan on Ramayana, talking about Ramayana. And then he didn't even want to get married. But then everybody started forcing him. You should get married, you should get married. So he got married. And as soon as he got married, we find that he was so attracted to his wife. In his attraction, he forgot about everything. He would not allow his wife to go to her mother's. And whenever she would ask, why do you need to go there? You've lived with your mother for so many years. You spend your time with me. Now this is your new life. This is how he always would keep her with her. Brothers also knew, this Jijaji doesn't do anything, doesn't let her out. So one day they find a way where Tulsidas ji was out. And the brothers came, picked up the sister, took her home. Tulsidas ji comes home, finds the house is empty. Asks in the neighborhood, what happened? Or they say, brothers came, they took her. He couldn't stay the whole night. He actually went that same night to her in-laws. He knocks on the door. She opens. And at that time, she told Tulsidas ji that you have so much desire for this flesh, this body. If you had this much desire for Raghunath, for Shri Ram, your fear of this world would have gone away. And as soon as he heard it, a great dispassion that came into his mind. And he did a 180 from there, ran into forest, and never came back again. Never even saw his wife ever again. Now we may think, is this right? He abandoned his wife. How could he do that? The world will say whatever they want to say. But the fact is, if the wife had not done, we would not have had Ramcharitmanas and a saint like Tulsidas. Before he was only Tulsi, then he became Tulsi Das. So, purpose was there for his wife. She served her purpose. We got something great like this. But a greatest example, that passion, he turned it into dispassion and directed it towards Bhagwan. Our purpose also should be that. that when the passion strikes our mind, we should nullify it so that we can direct it towards Bhagavan. Then we can do Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam. Otherwise, Bhajagovindam is not possible if that thought is in our mind. If we are constantly bothered by that thought, it will never allow us to do our sadhana. Therefore, Kamini is also not good. Or desire for Kamini is not good. This much is our third shloka. We will then see fourth shloka next week. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.